till next week. I need a 5-day rule. And that's Senate Bill 98, Appropriation CRA for an Incorporated Community Assistance Program. Then we'll go to Senator Helfer.
But you can't do that.
But I can't do that until.
I'll start working on it.
At this time, I'd like to take Senate Bill 1, Title 29, and I'd like to turn the gavel over to you, Senator Gilman, to continue with the hearings on the Senate Bill 1.
The purpose for today is to, we had, I believe, we're going to hear from Mr. Sharp today on the carryover from the other day on the utilities amendment. Since you were one of the principals in working with the Public Utilities Commission on that, if you could, would you give us your comment? You know, I want you to understand, Mr. Sharp, that we've held the record open for you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Lee Sharp. I'm the attorney for the City and Borough of Juneau. On this matter, I'm not representing policy of the City and Borough. What occurred several years ago was the deregulation of garbage utilities, in particular cable TV. At that time, in order to ensure that municipalities didn't suddenly come in and start regulating cable TV, Title 29 was amended in such a fashion that municipalities could no longer regulate any utility. It was a rather shotgun approach to making sure that they didn't regulate the two that were being deregulated. It seemed that that was too broad an approach for, I think, what was intended. And I have worked with Mr. Hall and others to try to draft something that brings it back to within reason, so that those utilities which the legislature has determined should not be regulated are not regulated. The rest of them may be regulated by a municipality. Now, the way this bill was drafted probably isn't a heck of a lot out there for the municipalities to be able to regulate. This doesn't address the cable TV. I know that the cable TV industry is very concerned about this. They speak for themselves. They were given a temporary deregulation. It was for 3 years. And 3 years is up this year. It'll either be extended, probably made permanent, or not given at all. If it's extended and made permanent, it's presumed, and what Mr. Hall and I talked about was that would be an exemption that would be added to Section 711. And the way this proposed amendment, the utility section, is drafted, any utility that's put in as being exempt under Section 711 will also be exempt from municipal regulation. It did not seem the appropriate place to deal with cable TV, specifically in Title 29. We presume that would be dealt with separately and would be put in Section 711. But it was an attempt to return some authority to municipalities that they had prior to, I guess it was 1980, to regulate utilities, which were not being regulated by the APC.
Any questions?
Does
that help?
Are there any other utilities that were deregulated by the action of the 1980 legislation that weren't intended to be, or is this just a matter of returning the authority of the case?
Yes, this is a matter of returning it for those areas where municipalities may want to regulate utilities. Prior to that 1979 or 1980 amendment, I suppose, 1980,
I think,
there was an open question as to whether the utility which was specifically exempt from APUC regulation could thereby be regulated by a municipality. I believe there's an awfully good legal argument that could have been made that, yes, a municipality could regulate into just the APUC. It could not be statewide regulation, it could be local. The way this is drafted, if the APUC can't regulate them, neither can a municipality. So it's still much more restrictive than the law prior to 1980, as far as municipal regulation goes.
But the question is, are there any that were being regulated today?
I don't believe there were. I really don't know. In Juneau, to my knowledge, there weren't. Like I say, I raise this merely as a policy question when the legislation went through, when we started revising Title 29, as to whether that was the policy that everybody really intended, was that they were just taking municipalities totally out of regulation, except for their own utilities. That's the only reason I got involved in it.
So basically, there's no immediate effect either way in this amendment or not having.
I cannot think of any, but I certainly can't speak for other municipalities. There may be other municipalities that lost their authority to regulate some aspect of municipal regulations.
My question probably goes to cable TV people, and are there any? Is there anyone here?
There is representative of the industry here that live there. Going to testify and answer questions.
Well, maybe you can answer this question. The cable TV is currently being regulated by the APUC, is it not?
It was until about 3 years ago, and then it was deregulated. I think sometime in the early 70s, cable TV came into APUC regulation. Then they were completely deregulated, I think, except as to service area. Completely deregulated in 1980, so they are not now being regulated by the APUC.
I don't mean to say it wrong, but the APUC, I think, was going through several regulation hearings on different communities, Kenai being one of those.
That's for the service area. They're not regulating the service itself, or the rates, or the practices, any of that. It's just the area that they serve. But they do still retain that authority. Thank you, Mr. King.
That's
did, Mr. King, did you want to hear something in the record?
For the record, my name is Clark King. I'm executive director of the Alaska Cable Television Association. I would not give any formal testimony, but would be willing to answer questions. To the question Senator Ferguson asked, in 1980, with the Public Utilities Commission rewrite, the cable television industry in the state of Alaska was deregulated as to rates, tariffs, and service. The certification, transfer certificate, arbitration, still remains with the arbitration as to all attachment charges and the like, still remains with the Public Utilities Commission, so they still act as the arbitrator. But it was to rates, tariffs, and requirements of service that the cable TV industry was deregulated. At that time, there was provision also made, and this is not speaking just to the industry of cable television, but there were also provisions made within that Public Utilities Commission rewrite that some refuse utilities and also rural electric co-ops and telephone co-ops could choose among themselves to be deregulated. That has happened in some communities who are serviced both telephone and electrically by cooperatives, and this is specifically cooperatives, and done on the basis of an internal election within the cooperative.
As I understand the amendment that was change that was put in Title 29 last year, I believe the House Judiciary version, it would have not allowed that any longer. In fact, it would have placed those back on.
That was my understanding of the plan also.
After having several conversations with some of the co-ops that had to take the election specifically, I think that would wasn't an impression that it was a fact. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner, did you wish to give testimony on Senate Bill 1, or are you just observing? Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. No, I don't desire to.
Could I have your presence for just a little bit? Just in case the committee does not know Commissioner Lewis, I would formally introduce him to the committee. As you know, he has been a city manager of lobbies and considered him to be a longtime friend. Is the department going to have some suggested language to insert into? I know that we've talked about whether the governor was going to actually introduce a revision in the House, and if you are going to do that, then my suggestion would be to give us the changes that you anticipate in the House, so that we don't, so we can consider them here. Because of the size of the bill that this is, we don't want to have it go into the printers too many times. So I'd like to get those incorporated if we could.
Mr. Chairman, we have six technical amendments, all of them minor to the bill.
And we had some minor amendments last year to this bill.
So, my understanding, sir, that they are real minor. We'll be more than happy to provide you with those technical amendments at your pleasure.
Thank you. This bill seems like every time you read it, there are places that you find holes in it. I think I found one, and I would maybe indulge you and your staff to take a look at it. It's that provision in that deals with the unincorporated borough being able to go from an unincorporated borough to home rule. I don't think we've written it properly so that there's a means to provide for the Charter Commission to be elected first. It looks like we've let that step out. Now, you may have already picked that up, I don't know.
I would be happy to take a detailed look at that stream of events to make sure that they logically follow.
Okay. I'm sure that the staff of the committee would be more than glad to work with me on it, because I read it, reread it, and the longer I read it, the more confused I get about how do you get there from here. It looks like we've left the first step out. Senator Halford?
You can answer that question I had on PG, where first we have to file for an Occupy One office. More than one office, it may not serve simultaneously. You may occupy more than one office, it may not serve simultaneously as the city mayor and a member of the council.
Yeah, that, Senator Halford, that is, as I understand it, one of the recommendations that they are coming forward with is technical.
Oh, yeah.
I just was handed to you, first one on the list. Yeah. It is in the information I'm told that was handed out today. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And we'd be more than happy to appear at your pleasure to discuss those six items.
Okay. Again, what I'm trying to do is to get us, if there are going to be any amendments proposed, to try to get rope around them so that we don't have to go back to the printers. It takes about 3 weeks to get this thing back when we make a committee substitute, at least last year. And it's just better that we get them all in here, that at least get them discussed and we agree on them or not. And considered him a committee substitute that maybe doesn't have to go through a six or seven rewrites.
I just might comment that the reason that the governor is introducing this B1 version in the House is to indicate his full support for the measure in the bill, hopefully to aid in its swift passage.
Thank you. Yes, Senator, please.
I'd like to make a comment that second-class municipality is going to home rule. There's in there another nice bill. There's some communities around the state that would like to do this, only to take over the school district. They can do a first class city, but there's some problems with going first class. And what are we going to do about the REAs and their funding mechanism? Once you take a large community out, knocks down the base for the overall village service. I think we need to address that.
Let's take a look at that question. They, Senator, if I recall, last year, was that your proposal that we did lift the number, or raise the number, as far as the standard, the second-class city could go home rule if it had numbers of 600 or whatever. Evidently, the communities we're talking about have more than 600. It's for that purpose, so that any second-class city would end up being its own school district. I think it's a valid point, and it may be something that we need to confer with the Department of Education, because it might be something that we'll have to have for the entire 14. But if, as long as we'll be looking at it,
to the formation procedure in which the municipality total operation that binding as well. I just wonder what the logic behind that timeframe is.
That's, let me double check it to make sure, but that's a carry forward from current law. And maybe Lee Sharp, from an attorney's point of view, would have a better understanding of why the 6 month, yeah, it is 6 months in current law. So he might be able to answer that, why it was originally 6 months.
I'm afraid I can't answer why it was originally 6 months. I would have announced the draft at that one, but there is something.
Boy, it's been a long time ago.
72. There is the need for finality in the formation of the municipality of changes. So the acts that take the arm challenge, long enough period is a long time. There's some doubt as to the legitimacy of the financial tax.
Lee, you don't suppose that came out of the old Mandatory Borough Act? Title VII?
Title VII. Now, I don't know where it first came up, but the 6 months first.
I might go back and look at old Title VII and see if it was in there, because I could understand under the Mandatory Borough Act why they would have something like that written in there.
6 months seems a rather lengthy time for a challenge. You know what the action that's taken is?
It could be a Will K. Jefferson one.
He started incurring debt and getting into taxation. The unraveling.
Well, it's pretty difficult sometimes for the rural areas to include the municipality without everybody finding out. 6 months goes pretty fast if you're somewhere on the fringes of a very large municipality and they don't even know that they're in it, and all of a sudden they get the tax bill and it's too late to even challenge it. You know, it's there and it's gone beyond the statute of limitations. That's kind of a broad power to grant. Just delegate that away, that tax is low.
The actual time period is really longer than 6 months as far as the activity, because it takes 6 months to a year at least for the formation process.
But a lot of people, when they hear something they don't like, they say, oh, it'll never happen. No, they don't even think about it. They don't believe it happened until they get a tax bill, and it happens at the center of that government 100 miles away.
Thank you. Anyone else that wish to? Yes. Oh, he has another question. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to find it. We went over and we were looking at the thing, and I wondered if.
Marchers and Rand.
Pardon?
Is it Marchers and Rand?
Yeah, but he only got to about 20 pages.
13.
He read a lot more since then.
Well, the provision that allows the initial members of the borough assembly to set their own terms after the election. That's one of the questions I have, but I need to find it.
We're talking about adding a phrase that by ordinance confirmed that needed to be ratified by the voters.
Well, if they're going to stand for election and be elected and then extend their term for a year after they're elected,
Senator Halford, why don't we just make a note of that and have the staff research that as a possible inclusion for an amendment?
Yeah, I certainly don't have any objection.
As a matter of fact, I don't know of any place, I'm not aware of any place that's ever done that, changed their terms.
It's on page 46, section 292230. Well, that refers to the mayor, and then there are other sections that refer to the 75.
Page 9, line 12. Well, see, if you look at that section, the mayor that's got a pretty good power base can extend his term by a year through the ordinance of assembly. Elected for 3 years, he can be elected, and by ordinance extended to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, as long as we're on that topic, I can't recall what the position was about whether municipalities should be able to limit the terms of their mayor or council members, elected officials. And I don't recall how it's written in here.
That is in here, which it's not in Title 29, and it says that they can do it by ordinance, but the ordinance has to be ratified by the voters.
It isn't in Title 29?
It's not in Title 29 now.
Oh, but it is in this version?
But it is in this version, yeah. It says, except by ordinance ratified by the voters, no limit may be placed on the total number of terms or number of consecutive terms.
Okay. As you're aware, we've received some resolutions very recently where that question was actually put on ballot, almost like an advisory vote in the North Star and the Matsu boroughs. Would the people like to see that limitation? Am I correct? But it was an advisory type thing. They both passed overwhelmingly. So it is something that probably the language that's in here should be sufficient. It does not leave it to the governing body itself. And that would be a petitionable item. People could put that on the ballot.
That's the same language that you would apply to them.
Do you have any other questions?
No, I've got a lot of pages yet to go.
This committee will be known as Education and Rick Halpin Committee. Someone else wish to testify on any portion of it, any part, any change? We will hold one more hearing, as I understand it, probably next
Tuesday.
And then we'll probably go back and analyze all of the amendments that have been proposed and bring it back and vote on the amendments and have any substitute there.
That's correct.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
You're really good to meet.